Good morning, Governor.
Good morning, Doctor.
Are you sure?
I am fairly sure. Thus far, it has been a good morning. We still have an hour and a half, and a lot can happen.
That's all true. Okay, let's start. The budget is due in exactly 6 weeks. Lawmakers aren't in Albany this week. Where do the talks stand? You know, I've always posited that you're a very tough guy, that you get your way, and that they all roll over. And you have always argued that they don't. What's the deal?
I am not a tough guy. I fight for what I believe, and that's what I get paid to do and what I get elected to do. But these are very difficult political times. I'll tell you my frustration. The times are so political and so episodic and topical that what's happening with this budget, it's the elephant is being lost for the tail. Everyone is focused on what's going to happen with Medicaid and what's going to happen with bail reform. Medicaid is relatively straightforward. We're saying to local governments, you have to live with the 3% cap, which is what they always lived with until they had no more financial liability. And then the amount ballooned, so it has to go back to 3%, which it will. And bail reform, everyone has said, we know we made a big change and we have to need to make other changes and calibrate the system post the dramatic change. And we want to get data, and we're getting data, and we'll be making suggestions on bail reform. So everyone's been focused on Medicaid and bail reform. But that's not what this budget is about. And 6 weeks, nobody's even talking about what it's about. It's about marijuana. It's about paid sick leave. It's about vaping. It's about a middle-class tax cut, a small business tax cut. It's about banning fentanyl, changing our gun laws, and education funding. No one is talking about any of that, Alan, which is just – now, the press will say, well – we follow the controversy. Yeah, I know. And so they follow the band. And the band is making noise about Medicaid and bail reform. But all of these other issues are major policy issues that are my priorities, you know. And I'm not going to give up because some people say, you know, I'm a fighter for New York. And they're getting amazingly little discussion. Education, okay? You've talked about it for years. All groups will protest more money for this, more money for that, more money for poor schools. Do you know how the education funding is going to wind up this year? You know what the crystal ball says? New York City will get 39% of the funding. Long Island will get 13% of the funding, and upstate New York will get the balance. How do I know that, my crystal ball? But that's what the legislature is going to do. You know what they did last year? New York City got 39%, Long Island got 13%. You know what they did 5 years ago? New York City got 39%, Long Island got 13%. You know what they did 15 years ago? New York City got 39%, Long Island got 13%. Yeah. How can that be? Different governors, different legislatures, Democrats, Republicans. Because it all comes down to a distribution through the legislature that allows every legislator to go home with more than they had last year. And that's the political reality of the situation.
Well, aren't you part of that? In other words, you know, you may, for want of a better word, bitch about it. But the fact of the matter is, you could fight a little harder, couldn't you?
Oh, I said in my State of the State, give the state money to the poorer districts to equalize the inequity caused by the property tax system.
And they say?
They say, politically, that's nice, and every legislator will support it rhetorically, but the legislators from the wealthier districts are not prepared to go home and say, oh, I know our education aid is down this year. That's because we gave more money to the poorer districts. They want to go home, and everyone wants to be able to say one word, more. I brought home more.
Well, I don't want to be too cynical about this. Not me. I'm not that way. It seems to me you have it both ways. You say you should have the poor getting more, the poor districts getting more. You know it's not going to happen, and you come on and you predict that what's going to happen is the Democrats will do what they have to do to just maintain the status quo.
No, my point is to refute your point. Oh, you get everything you want, and however you want it, you dictate what happens. No, there is a political reality to life. This is an election year. There's a lot of pressure on everyone from the left, from the right, and people do what is in their political interest at the end of the day. But on all of these issues, there's no focus, there's no discussion, there's no analysis, and the clock is ticking. And 6 weeks, and take any one of them, marijuana. I believe if we don't get it done in the budget, we don't get it done. And I believe we need to get it done. And it is a major priority for me. I said it in the State of the State. A paid sick leave, that is such a great reform. It piggybacks on what we did with paid family leave, but give people 5 paid sick days, so if they're sick, they stay home. The vaping crisis, we have a very aggressive law. I tried to do it by health regulations. The vaping company sued me and stopped the regulations. We'll pass a law, and that's a major proposal. Middle-class tax cut and small business tax cut. You haven't even heard it mentioned. Fentanyl ban, new gun laws. So this budget will have major policy wins in it, but it is a very different year since no one is focused on the elephant for the tail.
I find it hard to believe that Speaker Hastie and others aren't listening to you, that you don't pick up the phone, you don't talk to them, you don't tell them what you want, you say nobody's talking about it. I can't believe you're not talking about it to them.
Oh, no, I'm talking about it. You're not talking about it.
I don't talk to those guys.
You're not talking about it to your listeners.
Well, what do you think you're on right now? And by the way, I wanted to say I've been extremely upset, if I may, Governor, with the fact that at least one person who works for the Albany Times Union tweeted to everybody, don't quote Shattuck, in your stories and WAMC, because he said he should be meeting us in the Red Room. We're the real reporters here, I believe is his intent. And what do you, why don't you just see them all in the Red Room all the time?
I see them all the time. You know what I say to them? Why don't you cover me? Why do you stay in this building all the time? Why don't you come out and see real people and real events and actually show up at something? That's my retort. You want me to come sit with you in a room? I want you to come out and see the people and see government in action and actually cover what state government does.
Okay, get your crystal ball out. Are we going to have in the budget marijuana reform?
I am going to give it my all to get it done in the budget. You mean passing recreational marijuana?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to give it my all, and it's a top priority for me.
I want to talk to you about other things. ICE leader to visit Troy, says the Albany Times Union this morning as we speak. And the acting director will lead news conference opposing driver's license access and privacy act. What do you think he's up to? And what's your answer to all of that? I mean, obviously they're sending him in with a different set of agenda than you have.
Political season. The issue is immigration. division, fear. The problem is all these immigrants who are coming into the country. We have to build a wall. New York allows undocumented people to have driver's licenses. That's bad. We should be kicking them out of the country rather than giving them driver's licenses. That is the political point that this president has been making, this administration has been making for years, Alan. They just find different ways to litigate the same issue. It's immigration, it's division, it's fear. This is just another manifestation of that. And they will do whatever they need to do to politicize it and find any fact situation and make it political. You take what they're doing here. Yes, we have a law like over 10 other states that says undocumented people can get a driver's license. Why? Because it's in the public safety interest for the people of the state of New York. I want to make sure people who are driving on the roads actually pass the test and actually know how to drive. That makes sense from a state point of view. The ICE federal government, ICE, want access to that database. Why? Because then you can find out who's undocumented and you can go have it's like shooting fish in a barrel. You can go deport people right from the DMV database. So our law said you can't have access to the DMV database. They have the FBI database, which has all the criminal convictions, et cetera. They then say, no, we want the DMV database because we now have people in that database who don't have a Social Security number, so it would be a great list for ICE to target. What they then did was they said, and because you won't give us the DMV database, we are going to stop the Trusted Traveler program. What is the Trusted Traveler program? It's people go sit with a federal official. They show their passport. They show their background information, and they get pre-cleared at border crossings, airports. So you sit with a federal official. You say, here I am. I'm Dr. Alan Shortok. Here's my passport. Here's my tax return. I'll answer any question. You get a special card. So when you come through customs, you don't have to wait on the long line. You show your special card given to you by the special federal government. They stopped that program. It has nothing to do with anything. I said to them, I'll give you the DMV database for those Trusted Traveler people, about 200,000 in New York State. They said, no, we want to eliminate the program anyway. Why? Well, just because we want to take an action to highlight that you're giving driver's licenses to undocumented people. They don't say that verbatim, but that's in actuality what they're doing. They're penalizing 200,000 New Yorkers, holding 200,000 New Yorkers hostage who sat before a federal official just to make their point on immigration and undocumented drivers. And that's what the president and the administration is running on, immigration. It's still their main point.
Let me ask you this. You were supposed to hear back from the White House after that meeting between you and President Trump this week about the suspension of the Trusted Traveler program. Have you? What are your expectations as what happens next?
There is no rational basis to stop the Trusted Traveler program because I said from day one, when they first notified us, which they did on Fox TV, by the way, I said, I'll give you the DMV database for the Trusted Traveler programs. You can have it. Frankly, anybody who would go sit with a federal official to get the certification, Alan, has no problem giving them their driver's license information because to sit with the federal official, you gave them a lot more than your driver's license. So I said, I'll give you the DMV database for the Trusted Traveler program. I said that to the Homeland Security on day one, Homeland Security Acting Secretary. That answers rationally, logically, any concern they could have. They're left with, well, we turned off the Trusted Traveler program really just to create pressure and angst. and political noise, because there is no rational basis once I say I'll give you what you asked for. Here, take it. But I haven't heard back this week a conclusion to the conversation.
So the short answer is you didn't hear much back. Let me ask you this. You know, clearly you were in there for a while with him and you were talking about this. How is that? I mean, I can't watch the television now with Trump doing and saying some of the things he is. You were in there with him for quite a little while. What else did you talk about?
Look, I talk about everything that I talk about with you.
Yeah, but were you nice to him? How did it go? What sensation? Last week I got criticized for saying, "Do you ever want to punch somebody?" What were you feeling there when you were sitting there with the President of the United States, who is such an anathema to all of us, to so many of us?
Oh, did you get into trouble for saying, "Did you ever want to punch someone?"
Yeah, I did. I heard from, some fellow journalists who didn't like my asking you that question. And I thought it was
probably not MMA or boxing fans, huh?
No, probably not. Okay, let's go. Let's go on here. I got to know about Bloomberg. Bloomberg is coming up. You were palsy with, I guess that's the right way to put it, a palsy with, with Biden. Looks like Biden is falling like a rock. We're going to see after South Carolina. And looks like Bernie Sanders is way ahead, 20%. Ahead. So what do you make of this? As you're one of the great politicians of the country. We know that. You were trained by your father. You sat around. You discussed all the implications. As your dad used to say, if this happens, then that happens, then this happens, then that happens. You got to think six ahead. Give us a little primer here.
Too many variables at this point to have any educated hypothesis. Iowa, New Hampshire. Iowa, New Hampshire. Nevada will give us another point on the data chart. And then South Carolina, I think that's a really important data point. But you're right. By the current data, Joe Biden is not doing well. Michael Bloomberg, who I also know and have worked with, he's spent a fortune. And money is still very important in this, as we just learned again. We're all talking about social media and Twitter and this. And
do you like Bloomberg? You know him. Do you like him?
Yeah, we had a very fine relationship. It is interesting, though, we're watching the Bloomberg candidacy. It's sort of, we go back to the old logic. They used to have that question, a woman from the South is running for president, a woman from the West Coast, a man from the East Coast, a man from the North. Which person wins president? Answer is the one who spends the most money. there's all this. I have Twitter followers. I'm Instagram. I'm this. Yeah. Okay. And I have $400 million and I buy a lot of TV ads and I'm doing very well. It still has to play out.
Can he
it
win
still
it?
Has to play out.
Can he win it?
Can who win it?
Bloomberg. Bloomberg's coming on fast. Apparently, a lot of the others are attacking him now for his past positions. For example, a past position on redlining for banking and other things like that. Is this too much of a millstone around his neck to get out for even with all the ads?
Who knows? Who knows? Well, look, it's so unpredictable, and it's so early. Who knows? I would not wager. I still believe the fundamental goal, keep your eye on the prize.
Yes.
And the prize here is you have to beat Donald Trump. That's all that matters. And pick the candidate who can beat Donald Trump. And these are all preliminary skirmishes and people shaping up and they're on the on-deck circle, and they're exercising, and we're watching them, and we're scrutinizing them. But it's early yet, and keep your eye on the prize. We need to beat Donald Trump, and don't take it for granted. His numbers are up post-impeachment. So it's easier said than done. I believe the Democrat wins, but it's going to have to be a smart campaign.
Well, looking back on the impeachment effort, do you think, you know, based on your very keen analysis, it was a mistake to impeach him?
I don't think it was a mistake. I don't know that his, if you believe the increase in his poll numbers post-impeachment, I don't know that they, the impeachment caused that. I don't think the impeachment proved to be a lasting negative, certainly. But, you know, I think people, they have their opinions. I don't know that the impeachment process moved anyone one way or the other. You know, people have solid opinions and they tend to stay there and refute anything that is inconsistent with their opinion.
Well, let me talk to you, go back to bail reform. There are many people who think bail reform could lead to Democratic losses. I know that you've said it had to be tweaked. And we know Speaker Hastie is against that, thinks it's too early. Where are we at in that one?
Speaker Hastie can speak for himself. That's why they call him Speaker. But he said, I want to make a decision based on data, which is the same thing I said. You know, you have a lot of rhetoric, you have a lot of hyperbole. When you go back and you look at a lot of these hysterical fact patterns that have been raised, many of them just don't pan out, you know. Many of the statements that were made, people are now recanting. Some of the situations where they said, look at this, look what happened here, it turned out it had nothing to do with bail reform. So I get that people are offended. I get that there has been a shift in power in the system. And whenever there's a shift in power, Alan, those who lose power scream loudly. And this was a major reform and a much needed reform to get money out of the justice equation. But now you have to separate the politics and the personal agendas and the misinformation from the actual facts. And that's what we're talking through now. And I think we're doing it deliberately and intelligently. And nobody will say, I don't think the speaker included, nobody's going to say, well, we made one change and we don't expect that that change is going to have other consequences that we have to consider. So I think everybody is looking and learning and listening. The Senate said basically that they put forth a series of changes they think should be made, and we'll be discussing those. But the speaker is open to the discussion, and that's what we'll be doing. And I think we'll do it for the next several weeks. And then make a decision based on the facts.
So are you feuding with my friend Tom DiNapoli, the comptroller, who's released his analysis of your budget last week? He says more than a third of the proposal plans to close the budget gap have yet to be identified. In other words, you haven't told him how you're going to do it. Is he right?
First, I'm not even familiar with what the comptroller said.
Okay.
By definition, he would have to be right, because the Medicaid redesign team, MRT, is the vehicle to identify the savings, and he knows that that doesn't come forward until we get closer to April. But I don't know, and I'm not feuding. Why would you say I'm feuding? I know he's your friend. He's my friend, too. But why do you go right away to those personal attacks of feuding? Tough guy. Why? All ad hominem, ad hominem.
No, not at all. I want to ask you about this then. You found that spending from the state operating fund is set to increase 1.9% in your proposal. But, quote, after having adjusting for prepayments and other identifiable budgetary actions, it's actually more like a 3% increase. Who's right?
Who said that?
DiNapoli.
I don't know what he's referring to. I would have to look at it.
Okay, so Again, let me read you the question. Found that spending from the state operating fund is said to increase 1.9 in your proposal. But, quote, after adjusting for prepayments and other identifiable budgetary actions, unquote, it's actually more like a 3%. Who is right?
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about. I guess he's talking about the prepayments for Medicaid from last year. I just don't know, Alan. I would have to look at it.
Fair enough. In your State of the State address, you touted the fact that the state will have its lowest middle-class tax rates in 70 years. You're also looking to lower small business tax rates. Is this the right time to lower taxes, given the huge state budget gap?
The state budget gap is because of Medicaid primarily, and the Medicaid issue was an unnatural and unsustainable aberration of astronomical growth once we alleviated the local governments from any financial responsibility. In other words, the local governments now pay the same thing they did last year and the year before. And they're administering the program, they're doing eligibility, they're determining level of care, and when they don't have any money on the table, they became very loose with state funds. The growth is 7%. We have to get it back to 3%, which is what it always was when they were spending their money. And all we're saying to them is spend state money with the same care that you spent your own money, and let's get it back to 3%. That's it. Beyond that, yes, I think we need middle-class tax cuts and small business tax cuts to keep the economy running. We got hit very hard by the federal government with the SALT tax increase to this state. It's very important that we keep saying, look, the SALT tax was a federal tax. We have to fix it. I get it. I talked to the president about it again last week. It was a political move. They raised the taxes in all the Democratic states and gave the money to all the Republicans.
What did he say?
I've had this conversation with him 5 times.
Yeah, but what did he say this time?
But he says the same thing, which is that, you know, this was the legislative proposal and this is what the Republican senators wanted to do, which I understand because all the Republican senators' states made money. They took our money.
Okay, listen, I have a big problem. Big Mike, who is the board operator here, has just whispered in my ear, you've got to wrap up. We have other programs we have to do. I do apologize for that, Governor, because I could be asking you questions for a long, long time. I appreciate your coming on. I know you do it, and it's a very important thing to us, and we thank you for it.
How big is Big Mike?
Big Mike is like 7'4".
Oh, he's very big. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Thanks, Governor.
Thanks. Bye.